Hello, everyone. Welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing, fighting monsters, and oh god, is everybody okay? Did everybody make it through?
Yeah, I'm alive. I'm alive. Yeah, I'm alive.
Wait, where's Simon? Where's Luke? We're missing people.
I think we lost Simon.
I think the temporal stabilizers may have given out halfway through there.
Oh Jesus! I mean, are they in the time stream or we get? Are they? Oh shit! Okay.
Oh,
no. They're still look in 2 weeks ago, I think.
No, boy. Look at the sensors, guy. Guys, Luke got sucked into the morphing grid. How fucking ironic!
Oh Jesus! We'll
He's
never
trapped
get
in
out
a world of,
there. Of
his own shitty logic.
We'll never get him out of there.
We can still save Simone though.
Okay, good. We'll have to go back for him after this. Listeners, I'm sorry. We may have fucked up the space-time continuum. Does everybody have their paradox prevention lists?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
totally, yeah. Right here.
Okay,
So here's the game plan. We gotta redo the first half of this episode and then peace out before our past selves show up, otherwise we'll get time copped.
Yeah, and remember, we have to make sure we hit these points. If we don't, then the joke setups won't pay off in the second half and we'll cause a paradox and break the whole thing all over the fuck again.
Yeah.
Can I just once again say that I'm really upset that we can manage to go back in time for this, but if I miss an episode, no, that's just it. I'm done.
Listen, we have to get in a time ship that gets punched by a giant robot. We can't just fucking go back so you can be on an episode. This is for emergencies only.
Why do we use a giant robot as a propulsion system? That just
Why
seems
would we not?
Like, because
it's the best way.
That's just how it works. Look, yeah. Listen, we borrowed the Time Force ship. We have to play by Time Force rules, okay?
Okay. Well, anyway, according to the checklist, the first thing we do is we have to introduce ourselves.
Oh, right. Okay. Hi. Hey, everybody. It's Zach. You're a totally normal host. Nothing out of the ordinary here. Hi.
Normally you introduce us.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Good point. Hey, also joining me this week, we've got Mike.
Hi. I'm totally Mike from this time and not the future.
We've got Matt.
I'm Matt. I'm from the future, though.
You know, you fucking listen.
I mean, I'm not. Not.
To be fair, Matt always joins us from the future. That's not really a new thing.
That's true. And we've got our buddy Joel.
Yes, it's me, Joel.
Wait, why did you do that? It doesn't make sense. Anyway, okay, so hi, everyone. This week, we're here to talk about Power Rangers episode 39, Doomsday Part 1. I don't really have a more fact newsnable because it was lost in the... Listen, don't worry about it. It's fine.
What was happening 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember what happened yesterday, man.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
I remember the names of my own fucking family members and pets.
Yeah, so anyway, it's not important. We're just going to move on to the episode today. And this is an important one because it's the first half of what was originally supposed to be the finale for Power Rangers.
Yes, it's a very vital episode, which is why it's a good thing we're getting it right the first time.
Yeah, it's a very good thing that we didn't screw up and have to... never mind. So... The cool thing about this is that after these episodes, they're going to be using original footage that they paid Toei to make after the fact.
Wait, so it's original footage, but it's still from Japan.
Yes. They asked Toei to make new footage for the show because they had already run through all of the Japanese footage of Zyuranger. So they had to get new stuff made, but they didn't make it themselves. They had Japan make it. And as far as I know, they weren't like, here's what the script is. They were just like, make fight scenes. And Toei was like, okay.
I mean, that's how they approach the American footage too. Like, the direction for court fight choreography was make fight scenes.
Yeah. So then they would
work. That was the style of writing that the writers were used to, was take this existing footage and make shit up. And they didn't want to, you know, change course. Midway.
Yeah, they had to preserve the visual inconsistency of the show.
Yeah, so they had to, basically, they'll just write around the weird shit. But I say this so you understand when shit goes down so hard in this episode, why that is. Because
this is using, like, finale Jew Ranger footage.
Yeah, originally this was the end of the show. So
yeah, and they had to course correct when it turned out that Power Rangers was getting huge ratings and the toys were selling and it was making all the money.
It was making more money than Jesus, so much money
they could afford to pay a Japanese film studio to create new footage that was only going to be used for this.
Yeah. And
because apparently the original ending of Part 2, and we'll get to what the ending of Part 2 actually wound up being, but the original ending was going to be, you know, the assault on Rita's castle and the actual, like, ending, just straight up ending of the show.
And also, one of my favorite things about that fact that they make a bunch of new footage is some of it didn't get used because they eventually switched Zords to the next season of Sentai. So there is just, like, floating extra footage of this somewhere that never got used, which is kind of cool.
I wonder if you have the DVDs of this, right?
Yeah, I haven't really looked at the special. I really need to.
I wonder if they put some of that stuff in the special features.
That'd be cool. They're also you've been
doing a Power Rangers podcast for 39 weeks, and you haven't checked the special stuff on the DVD.
I watched the stage show, the weird like Power Rangers Live that was.
Oh yeah,
on there,
I remember talking about that,
and it was terrible. So I honestly didn't really look at the other stuff. I probably should.
Has it been 39 weeks since we're all time paranoid? Not paradox.
Don't ask about it too hard. Okay. If you think about it too hard, it'll break everything.
Okay, I'm not thinking about it anymore.
That's kind of a good rule for the show too.
Yes, also that. So I think I just have
one quick question about all this weird stuff happening before we move on to the actual show. Does this mean I get to be Bruce Willis in the future?
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
Wait, do we all get to be Bruce Willis in the future?
Yeah. I don't see why we can't all be Bruce Willis in the future.
Awesome. Can I be diehard Bruce Willis?
No, you have to be old Bruce Willis.
He's still making Die Hard movies, isn't he?
But like it's like Die Hard 6 and...
Can I be... Hold on. If we're talking about like turning into celebrities, can I be Nicolas Cage so I can run around screaming I'm a vampire at the top of my lungs and no one will bat an eye?
Matt, I think if you were going to grow up to become a celebrity, Nicolas Cage is probably towards the top of the list.
Yeah, it's Nicolas Cage is at the very top of the list. Unfortunately, number two is Adam Sandler, so holy God, I hope I become Nicolas Cage.
Well, in either case, you're just doing films for paychecks at that point. You know,
so one of
I mean, it's just the in other... the Nicolas Cage case, you're doing it because you owe tons of taxes on your fucking castles.
Actually, if he was Adam Sandler, at least he'd be, you know, getting us gigs too.
I still can't believe that that's a real thing that happened, that he had to make shitty movies because he bought castles that he couldn't pay off.
It continues to happen, though. It continues to happen.
It's just so weird. Anyway, so the
so
other
speaking
thing was...
of Nicolas Cage, no, go ahead.
Oh, the other thing I was going to say is that one of the cool things that happened around there that unfortunately never came to fruition is the Japanese designers redesigned the Zords, and they were going to have new Megazords that weren't from the original show that still had the same theme of the dinosaurs, but they never got around to using it because I guess... Toei presented it to Saban, and Saban was like, yeah, but you'd have to make new costumes, and that would cost me money, so never mind.
There's two elements of this design that I really like right off the bat. The first is that the Megazord is basically wearing the T-Rex as a hoodie.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll put it up in the Twitter, by the way.
And the second is using the Pterodactyl Zord as a bow.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that a lot, actually.
As a bow and also as a drill, apparently?
I think that might be one of the other Zord. Oh, no, I think you're right.
No,
I think that is also the Pterodactyl Zord. It would have given the Pterodactyl Zord something to do other than just...
Other than just kind of be a chest plate, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's too bad, but it's okay because we eventually got the White Tiger Zord and stuff and all that's cool.
Oh, man, they incorporated that in, too. Look at...
Yeah.
The bottom part of the
yeah, they also considered using the Tiger Zord, but keeping the dinosaur Zords and having a weird Megazord with that. Like, so yeah, they tried a lot. They thought about a lot of different stuff and drew up concept art for it. And I'll post that. It's neat, but didn't happen. Instead, they eventually moved on to the, next set of Zords in the Sentai, which is fine. I mean, I like the Thunder Zords.
Yeah, the Thunder Zord's awesome.
So anyway, this episode starts, we open in school.
Yeah, and it literally just opens with a shot of the school where it just says school above it.
And I think it's literally the exact same establishing shot where the guy's bouncing the basketball.
Nope.
Oh, it's not? It's a different one?
It's the same shot of the same place, but the dude is not bouncing the basketball the same way.
Okay. So...
which I know is a weird thing to nitpick, but there it is.
So he's still bouncing a basketball, but in a different way?
Yeah, like in the shot we're used to seeing, he's bouncing it against the wall of the building, and this one he just kind of walks by, and he's dribbling it. Excuse me.
So Kimberly, and the other Rangers, not just her, but Kimberly
is walking.
Yeah, everyone but Zach is walking down the hallway, and Kimberly is reading from a newspaper, severely dating this episode.
Speaking of going back in time, holy fuck.
Yeah, I mean, the not like newspapers don't exist, but a teenager reading a newspaper? No.
No, the modern equivalent of this would be everyone walking in on their phone, like looking at their phones, reading something.
Right. But anyway, she's reading that, I guess, there's, what does she say? It's like,
It's Power Ranger Day.
Well, it is Power Ranger Day, but it's because of their, like, courageousness and helping the town, and they're our heroes and everything, and they're making it Power Ranger Day.
Yeah,
and
there's going to be, like, the long story short of it is the town of Angel Grove is throwing a big party in the park to celebrate the Power Rangers and hope that the Rangers are going to show up. Now, here's the problem with that. In every show where there's some kind of superhero or some kind of just, you know, hero character going on, and there's also supervillains running around.
Right.
And the show or a group of people, whatever, throws a big celebration to celebrate the superhero, the supervillain always shows up to fuck with it.
Yeah, this is...
every time. Just, like, if you live in a city that is regularly besieged by supervillains, do not have a big party to celebrate any local heroes. Just don't do it.
Or if you do, make sure that nobody actually shows up to it but those superheroes.
Right. Basically, when they get attacked, it's kind of on them. Like, they fucked
up. Wait. Are you saying they were asking for it?
I'm victim blaming, exactly.
Good job, Zach. You did it. You made it, buddy.
But no, I mean, really, though, and also they have... this, it's the day of, so they are betting on someone having seen... one of the Power Rangers, A, being human... I mean, there was that rumor that Jason started that they were aliens. And B, reading the newspaper that day in time to go, oh yeah, I guess we should go to the park. And then also, yeah.
Yeah, because clearly these people are going to be attacked, so we'd better show up.
And also these people, Angel Grovians have like a weirdly high level of knowledge of Rita, so they should probably know that she's always watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rita's more likely to read the paper than the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Rita doesn't strike me as someone with that much reading comprehension, to be honest.
Rita literate? And if she is, does she even read, like, English?
Well, she has the mind of an 8-year-old, so I presume she can read a little bit. Like, maybe she knows the letters.
Oh, man. Do you think her spellbook is mostly pictures?
Aww.
We've seen her spellbook. It is mostly pictures.
Yeah, it is.
Oh shit, you're right.
Oh my god, there's gotta be like some cutaway gag where Rita, it's like It's Always Sunny with Charlie, where they try and read Charlie's diary and it's completely in fucking decipherable because it's written in what it basically amounts to hieroglyphics.
So
I wanna see Rita with a pop-up spellbook.
Aww, that's sad.
I wanna see Rita watching like Sesame Street. You know?
Yeah.
Be like, Oscar, he gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, he lives in a dumpster. I mean, there you go.
Bam.
Basically, same character. So.
Well, now I want to hear Oscar the Grouch say, after 10,000 years, I'm free.
Time to conquer Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Time to conquer Jim Henson's workshop.
Oh, God. So, Zach shows up and he's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And Kimberly finishes reading and says, the Mayor Carrington hopes the Rangers will show up to be honored, basically. And then they walk off, and Balk and Skull come downstairs, and Skull is, like, running after Balk.
I don't want to miss the...
What I miss, sorry.
I don't want to miss the
comment after reading it. She's like, yeah. I have a feeling that they'll show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Rangers being all smarmy and like, yeah, I've got a feeling the Rangers will be there. You know, I could feel it in my gut, you know?
Yeah. So, Skull is like running after Balk and he's like, come on, Balk, you got to tell me. And Balk says, okay. And he pulls Skull over into an alcove to make out. I mean, I'm sorry,
He means to make out.
His secret.
I mean, no. Okay, stop for a second. Breathe. Balk and Skull start playing tonsil hockey.
Jesus.
Fuck. No. You try. You take over.
It's in order to tell him his secret plan.
To make
which
out.
Is, no. It's to show...
The secret makeup plan?
The tongue punch his mouth box?
No,
smoochie,
it's to... It's to dress up as superheroes and steal the Power Rangers thunder by showing up at their special day just for them.
And then go to an Italian restaurant and recreate that shot from Lady and the Tramp.
Right, yes. That's as when they're dressed up as superheroes.
And then they fuck.
No. God damn it. So,
Matt, come on. What kind of show do you think this is? All right. They make
a total
love.
Fucking trash heap where a bunch of people fucked up the time stream and are now desperately trying to correct it.
We cut up to the moon and Rita's like, I guess
what's
we
it
should...
like to have sex with the time stream?
I'm assuming it's like putting your dick in a blender made of foam.
That's incredibly specific.
Well, it's an incredibly specific question that got an incredibly specific answer.
So Rita says we're gonna go to the party, and Babu is like, "Ooh, do you think they have Swedish meatballs?" Which I don't know why he knows what Swedish meatballs are, but that's fine.
I mean, fucking pumped about these Swedish meatballs too.
He's clearly been to IKEA.
Yeah, that's where most of their steampunk bullshit comes from. Is IKEA, because that's what they make, right?
Oh, man, do you think he gets, like, really stoked about the monthly IKEA trip with Babu?
Yeah, he really wants to go. Goldar says, no, idiot, we're not going for a social visit. We're going to destroy the Power Rangers.
Do you think the Moon Crew ever gets to go on a social visit? Like, just to Earth to hang out?
I'm sure they go to, like, a family brunch on Sundays at the Putty Bowl restaurant.
Or, you know, there's always that like kind of cliche whenever you have monsters or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, where it's like, oh, on Halloween we can just hang out, and maybe they go down there on Halloween and just chill. Who knows?
Well, you mentioned like Ninja Turtles. I'm imagining like Goldar Squad and Babu wearing like trench coats and hats.
Yes, yeah,
like
going to see the movies. Yeah,
yeah.
I just really like the idea that. Squat thinks that they can just go down to this party and hang out with everyone.
Yeah, like, that's not going to be a problem, I guess. He just thinks that that'll be fine. Basically, Rita says she's going to use all of her power to bring forth Cyclopsis.
Yeah, who is she specifies as Goldar's Zord.
Right.
Let's just sit and luxuriate in that for a second. Goldar's Zord.
That they haven't bothered to use before. Though I guess she says it needs all her power to do it. So this is last.
Yeah,
she's got to do something special to make it happen in a moment.
Right.
Like, this is her last resort. The kind of thing she maybe should have pulled out when the Rangers' Zords were destroyed and her evil Green Ranger was kicking their ass.
Yeah, that would have been.
She's got like 75 different like final last trump cards, you know.
Yeah. So, So she says that is this where she mentions that she'll have to come down to Earth, or is that later?
I think that's later.
Okay. So, she starts summoning Cyclopsis.
Yep.
And then we cut down to this weird carnival, like.
Well, it's just like a gathering in the park, except there's like standees of the Power Rangers, and like there's these like big inflated like tubes that are just decorative all over the place.
It's like inflatable flailing tube men, except they're not flailing and they're not men. They're just
and also
it's
they're
like
fucking
it's like
enormous.
Somebody disemboweled a bunch of wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube men
And just laid their corpses everywhere?
Yeah, just strung their innards out all over the place.
Well, also, like connect, like these are really long, so they, like, killed them and then connected them, like, wacky-waving, inflatable, tomb-floating, arb-man centipedes.
Centipedes, yeah.
Man, whoever set up the fucking genocide of the wacky-wavy, inflatable tube men was not fucking around. They wanted to send a message.
So,
to who, though? Who is this message for?
The survivors.
It's to all of the, like, giant Paul Bunyan statues. Yes. They're next, if they don't step in line.
So, they are...
What will all the used car salesmen do now?
Nah, they're fucked. Yeah. They're screwed. So, Zach and Jason show up first, and they see... Angela, and Zach is like, oh, Angela, we should get together tonight. And she's like, if you were Power Ranger, I'd say yes, and walks away. And Zach does this, like Jason has to hold him back. And
yeah, you just see him going, Jason, can I? Please, yeah. I need this, Jason.
Yeah, fucking Zach is so thirsty, like, holy fuck, son of.
Yeah, he says, like, I should just morph right now, which I really quickly want to mention in Dino Charge, the Black Ranger in that. Does in fact morph to pick up chicks, which is pretty funny. But, so yeah, Jason actually has a good point, which is no. We have to show people that we're here and like say hello to people we know so yeah. that when we show up as Rangers, nobody will suspect us.
Yeah. We have to walk around as Clark Kent first. And right. then when people see Superman, they won't freak out. So we have Billy, Kimberly, and Trini walking through the crowd, kind of greeting people, and then...
It's like a cavalcade of named background characters.
Yeah they're like, hi, Miss Appleby, hi, whoever, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like they just wave off screen to them. Like, they bother to have the actress for Miss Appleby and the actor for Ernie, like, cut in front of them real quick, but, like, just walking across the camera not saying anything.
Yeah.
Which seems weird.
And also, there's something that happens that makes me very angry... Which is that they say, it's too bad that Tommy couldn't come. He probably feels bad because he's like left out. And Kimberly is like, oh, he'll show up.
Except they never invited him.
They didn't invite him. And also Kimberly is dating him, right? Like,
is she?
I think so. They went to
really?
The,
but like,
they,
so
they kissed.
And they went to the dance together.
You know what? Like, I bet Tommy, like he probably read that this was happening in the paper and was like, okay, they're going to call and invite me at any time. I'm just going to wait by the phone for it to happen.
Yeah. And he's just...
Smash got fucking Tommy sitting by the phone any second now.
Yeah. Yep. And
he's petting his cat in his lap and they'll call me.
He's the only reason he's not here is just waiting for them to send him an invite. You know, come on, it'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean I haven't seen him in a while, but they're my friends. They're not gonna forget me.
Yeah, I'm sure they've been busy, but surely at this, you know, an event celebrating, you know, the Power Rangers, surely they'll want me there, right?
Yeah. They said I would always be one of them, you know? Aww. They said they would never forget me.
Now you're making me actually sad. So
we did the thing where we put our hands in the middle and then we jumped up and it freeze framed and went to the credits. Like, they wouldn't forget that.
Wait, so, how do I know that?
So we cut up to the moon and they're like, okay, the dimensional vortex beam is ready. We'll zap all the civilians into another dimension. And that'll make it easier to get the Rangers, which I don't know about.
Can we stop for a second and talk about the phrase dimensional vortex beam?
Is it because they're going to do it and there's not a beam at all or a vortex?
There's not even really, like, there's kind of a special effect, ?
Yeah.
But like, I think as all of us can personally attest to, that's not at all what a dimensional vortex beam looks like.
No, it's like swirly colors and there's a robot that hits you. So yeah. I know that much.
And also there's like an alternate version of yourself that tries to kill you, but you have to fight him off and it's really weird.
Yeah. And then then the big image of Tom Baker in the sky. It's messed up.
Well, I'm not sure about you, but my alternate dimension evil self was just like this weird emaciated person who was just in the fetal position sobbing to himself. Really, really creepy. I got the fuck out of there as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, like,
so, yikes.
Like, mine and I just kind of had a nice chat and then left. Like, there wasn't really any animosity there.
Wait, did you guys
really? Like, did this not happen to anyone else? Because mine was like, this is for the good of all mankind. And then, like, he was out for blood.
No, mine was just, like, the creepy, naked, emaciated, like, super depressing, sobbing to himself self in the corner. And it was...
Well, you did say it was your doppelganger.
Me and mine had sex. We had sex.
Okay, describe it in incredible detail right now.
So, moving on, we have
I'm sorry, we need details. We want the hot, juicy Zach on Zach action.
We can't
get it. We juicy.
We kissed. So, Balkan Skull...
They made out, they went back into a corner bot in the little corner of the school, and they made out next to Balkan Skull, who are also making out, because that's what they do.
So, Balkan Skull are... They show up, and they go into a photo booth, which has a bunch of pictures of the Rangers on it, and I guess you can, like, get your picture... Like green screen onto one of them. I don't understand really what that photo booth is.
There's a bunch
for.
Of pictures of the Rangers, and they're all like pose in like fight poses and stuff, which means that they got some sort of a press release packet from, I'm going to guess, Alpha?
Yeah. Alpha sent out a press release package.
Yeah. Like they straight up a shot of them about to fire the mega fuck off cannon. So.
Which that's a standee of them, and it's pointed at the viewer, which means. That how did they get that picture?
Yeah, Alpha had them pose for it to send out as part of the like PR packet.
Okay, so Balkan Skull go into this thing and they change into their costumes. He says
two things.
Bulk
two
says
things.
This is go ahead.
In the outfit Skull's wearing originally, he has like his shirt is like a spine and rib cage.
Yes,
it's awesome. I love that shirt.
Yeah, skeleton like that's a cool shirt. But then they sneak into like a photo booth, and okay, you know how in cartoons and shit, when people are supposed to be changing clothes, they do that by having them like if they're behind like a privacy wall or something, they'll throw their clothes up above like, you know, where they are to show like, hey, the changing clothes is happening. In this case, they just sort of throw their clothes out the side of the photo booth because there's a roof.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's weird it's because you get the sense that, like, Bulk and Skull are just stripping in there. And also because it's a photo booth, naturally some pictures are probably being taken they're not aware of.
Or are they?
So, anyway, they change into their outfits. And, man, okay. Bulk is great because it works with Bulk extremely well. Skulls is just awesome. So let's talk about them. Bulk.
Let's break this down in excruciating detail because we have to.
Bulk is wearing, so if you've seen Superman, you know, he has like his underwear on. I don't know what you actually call those, but like the red briefs. Bulk has that, except it's like a giant diaper over the rest of his costume.
It's like a giant dark purple diaper.
It's pulled up to like the top of his stomach too.
Yeah.
This is a fat man tactic where you pull your pants up real high to hide your gut.
Gotcha.
And that's purple over his blue, the blue rest of the suit.
Yeah, the rest of it is kind of a stuntman sort of thing because he's got like a hood.
He's got like a tight hood, like, and he's got yellow goggles. He kind of looks like. Have you ever seen that really old timey superhero, the Phantom?
Sure. Yeah.
Kind of looks like that, except he's also got a cape.
And there's a hole in the back of the hood so his ponytail can stick out, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, yes. That's great. But yes, his B, he has a big B both on his belt buckle, which we'll get to in a second, and across his chest, and
they're both backwards.
And the best part is his belt buckle, which is a pizza with a backwards B on it.
Yep.
Like not a full size, but like a personal pan size pizza just on his stomach.
And he has, also, like, a food-based utility belt.
Yeah, he has a utility belt with donuts and hamburgers on it.
And, like, a hot dog and, like,
Like, do you think they actually do something, or are they just decorative?
I mean, I think they're for energy.
I want him to have a hamburger communicating device.
Some kind of hamburger phone, if you will.
Perhaps, yes.
Okay. Skull is
Before we move on to Skull, Bulk's name is the Incredible Bulkmeister. And you just know that in the original script he was just going to be Incredible Bulk, and some lawyer said, like, no. No, that's not.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Nope, not going to happen.
Nope.
And Skull's name is Super Skull.
They're both basically a letter off from being Marvel characters.
Yeah, but the thing is, everyone knows who the Incredible Hulk is because of that show. No one knows who Super Skrull is.
No. And Super Skull is, well, first of all, his belt is just Skull's belt, which I like that part.
He didn't need a flashy belt because he already had one.
But other than that, it's basically a purple version of Robin's costume.
Yeah, right down to the stylized S on his chest there.
Yeah, he has a
there.
Stylized S that is basically the same font as the R on Robin's costume. It's a purple with gold, like, I don't know what those are really.
Like trim and like buckles down the chest. His pants are like, they've got skulls on it. It's like skull-based leggings. And he has actually, he's got a purple domino mask that's actually a really good domino mask.
Yeah, those are hard, and it looks like it fits, which is pretty cool. And he has a black cape, but he looks pretty great. I like Skull's costume a lot.
Yeah, these are, you know, obviously they're impossible prop department created costumes, but I will say, Skull's at least looks like he could be a legitimate superhero. Not like, and I don't mean like legitimate, but like if he showed up in like the movie Mystery Men, I wouldn't blink.
Sure. You know? I will say, like, I'm sorry, but Skull's dick is just right there. Every shot he's in, it's kind of ridiculous.
Please explain in excruciating detail the nature of Skull's dick in his costume.
He's got a big bulge in his pants.
I thought you were about to say he's got a big bulk in his pants, and I was going to say, well.
No. That's different. So they walk past the Rangers.
One thing I don't think we mentioned, I may have just tuned you guys out, but Skull also has a donut accessory hanging off of his belt. I assume just to tie in with bulks.
They look like they're supposed to be donut handcuffs because there's two of them and they've got a string between them.
Oh, that would make sense.
So, Skull, or Bulk and Skull walk past the Rangers who are just like,
they pound fists, which I appreciate.
It's literally right as Jason's asking if they're ready to morph.
And Jason, Kimberly is just like, why are they dressed that way? And they decide to wait because they have to see this shit, basically. Bulk and Skull just walk up to the podium that's set up for the Power Rangers and just make dicks of themselves. They're like, we're your new superheroes and we're here to take care of the town and we're the Incredible Bulkster and Super Skrull, Boy Wonderful, he calls himself.
Super Skull.
Like. Super Skull. Did I say Skrull? Sorry.
Yeah, nobody knows who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like, a moment. They talk about something, the most dynamic, powerful, and incredible superheroes ever to walk the earth. We have deigned to protect your fair city. And so on and so forth. And like, these kids are like, laughing at them, and it's like, hey, well, if you're superheroes, show us your powers. And
apparently their powers consist of posing badly and then just like
do a Ginyu Force impression.
Yes. And then they just punch and kick and they're terrible like fake karate thing.
And they cut to the crowd just losing their shit at this. Like,
let me remind you that it is explicitly part of Rita's plan that every person in Angel Grove is here. They literally could not humiliate themselves more than they have. Except Tommy. Sorry, Tommy's waiting by the phone. But other than that, yeah.
I love how hard everyone's selling this laughter. It reminds me of that scene at the end of Wet Hot American Summer where they're telling the jokes and they cut to people just like crying with laughter.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So yeah, they get humiliated. They cut up to themselves for once. It's just that whole thing where Bulk is like delusionally confident, you know?
Yeah.
Where he just like no matter what he does, it's gonna be the best, and it doesn't work out that way. So,
so we cut up to the moon, and then Goldar's like, "Hey, so let's zap him now."
yeah, let's do this now.
Yep.
We cut back. Bulk and Skull are still being idiots. There's this one kid actor who's losing his fucking mind. Like,
yeah,
you're right, Joel. It literally does look like the Wet Hot American Summer gag where they're laughing too hard, except that it's not a joke. Like, yeah, just.
But also, like I love the physical. I don't want to understate like how great Paul Schreier and Jason Narvi are at selling this ridiculous fucking superhero nonsense. Skull's got like his cape wrapped around his head and it gets stuck.
Yeah,
and the Bulk's like waving this fucking baton or whatever he's got.
I didn't understand the baton. I don't know what that's for.
Like apparently that's secretly what the hot dog was some kind of baton. I think that's supposed to be a weapon.
Okay. But it's not like a police baton. It's like a conductor's baton, to be clear. Yeah,
maybe it's like a rapier.
Okay, sure.
Maybe. But so the first people to disappear are actually Bulk and Skull, which makes the crowd freak out. It's like, oh, what? Oh, the fucking clowns just vanished.
Yeah.
And this kind of feeds into our theory that everyone has like a color that is just part of their nature, because as they disappear, Bulk turns purple. And Skull turns green.
Yeah, they just turn into like, blobs of color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone turns into blobs of color as they disappear. This kind of indicates that maybe Skull could have been the Green Ranger?
Yeah. It's a similar effect, but not exactly the same to the teleportation stuff. So, yeah. I like the idea that Bulk is purple and Skull is green.
It maybe in some context explains his obsession with Kimberly.
Maybe.
Okay, sure.
Like, there's some sort of natural, like, linking between the colors pink and green in this universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right after Bulk and Skull disappear, there's something I noticed in the crowd that I didn't notice in the original timeline that was lost because Zach played God and pissed off the universe. The mayor is actually in the crowd. We won't actually meet her until the next episode, but the mayor is totally in the crowd.
Oh, you're right. Nice. Yeah, that's a good point.
Continuity.
Yeah.
It's almost like this is a world unlike our own where the normal rules of cause and effect and the forward progression of time exist.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
Shut up.
So we cut to the command center? Is that right?
Well, we get more shots of the crowd disappearing.
Right. And then the Rangers freak out because they were not teleported.
I do want to point out that
we also learned that Angela's light blue.
Oh,
what? Forgot about that.
What? No, Angela's isn't Angela red?
I think she turns red and blue.
What? That's impossible.
Dual.
Yeah, she turns red and then blue.
Impossible.
That doesn't make sense. Nope. So they're like they call.
Is she like Solix from Homestuck?
Okay, moving on.
No.
So
No.
That one was for Luke.
Okay.
You're welcome, buddy.
Yeah, it's too bad he'll never hear it because he's stuck in the morphing grid forever. So they call Zordon, who's like, yeah, everybody's gone. They're in another dimension because of
I like how blatant it is that everyone except the Rangers get teleported away. And there's kind of no reason for the Rangers not to be, because they're not morphed or anything.
Well, because Rita knows who they are, and she wants to kill them. Like,
yeah, but why wouldn't she just send them to the other dimension, too?
Because the other dimension isn't killing them. They're just, like, in stasis or something. Like,
yeah, put them in stasis for an eternity. Effectively dead. Boom. Job done.
Yeah, like, but Rita's ego is too big for that.
I assume the whole point of this is to take away the members of the town so that she can destroy the Rangers and like level the city and then bring them back so she has someone to rule.
But she says that earlier that this is to help them be able to find the Rangers and kill them easier. Like they want them dead. They don't want them.
But she has a magic telescope that tells her where they are at all times.
Yeah, but that one time she had to cast a spell to find out where the fuck Tommy was, even though she could do that, so who knows?
I'll tell you where he is. He's given up on waiting by the phone, and he started playing a video game.
I just want to cut in the middle of everyone getting teleported away to Tommy just playing like Smash Brothers by himself, just sad.
Yes, I would love to see Tommy playing Smash Brothers in 1993.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I was about to say, Smash Brothers, the time stream stuff's fucked with you guys. Smash Brothers isn't out yet, not even the original. He'd be playing like Sonic the Hedgehog or something.
Fair enough.
Actually, no, he's a Mario kid. He's too
No, Tommy's definitely a Sega kid. Jason's a Nintendo kid.
Mm. Yeah, Tommy would like Tommy would obviously like the console that lost. Like
Tommy would do what Nintendo don't. That's all I know.
Yeah. Also, he's hipper and edgier, you know?
Yeah. So,
but ultimately doesn't last long because he loses his
fucking powers. Sega literally lost money and stopped making consoles. How could they not be the losers?
Not with the Genesis, you shipper. That console made bank.
All right, listen, we're
fucking
moving on.
Fucking go back to 1993, kick your fucking ass.
we're moving on.
We fucked up the timeline enough. We can't go back to fucking 1993 to settle this shit.
So the...
Or could we?
There's a bit here where they're like, okay, we're trying to lock onto the dimensional beam... but track where it's coming from, which, like, it's from the moon, idiots. Like, of course it is. But at this point, they start seeing it move towards Earth. Sorry, I got confused. And they're like, oh, it's moving towards Earth. And then Alpha says, but how can the moon move? Which,
Alpha, little buddy, we have some mind-blowing information to share with
also,
you.
Also, Zordon says the moon can't move. You're right, Alpha, but Rita's palace can. Which...
Zordon just likes fucking with Alpha. Like, Alpha
Hold on. We've already established that at all times Rita's palace is positioned above Angel Grove, so maybe in this world, the moon doesn't move.
They're just locked together.
Yeah, like so Earth and like... the moon. No, like I'm saying, they're completely stationary. This is like an old timey, like way back in the day model of the universe where the Earth is at the center. Like that's this world.
But wouldn't they all fry? Because sun.
No, because the sun goes around.
Oh, I see. Also, in Power Rangers universe, gotcha.
Also, yeah. Even if that was the case, the moon would still have to be moving.
Yeah.
In order to stay locked to one location on the Earth,
it's not exactly that model, but like it's the basic concept.
I gotcha.
I just like the idea that since Alpha never gets to leave the command center, his only knowledge of the outside world is what Zordon lets him watch on the viewing globe, so he has no idea that the moon moves.
Are you saying Zordon is dog-toothing Alpha?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Alpha's a latchkey kid.
That's fucked up. All right, so, They say, okay, we're moving they cut up to the moon and they're moving the palace because.
Also, we get the shot of a laser shooting Africa from before. So.
Yes. Yeah. So they say we have to move the palace to Earth to power Cyclopsis. And I have a question, which is when the palace starts flying down to Earth, it already has a skyscraper under it. Was that on the moon?
Yeah, like
yeah, it was buried under the moon, and it's where the putties live.
Okay,
like if most of
the putties work 9 to 5s, man.
Do they just live in like nice apartments? Like
no, I'm saying it's like an ant farm.
I don't think they're nice.
Oh, okay, I see.
They live in little cubicles and they do menial office work, like all that bullshitty spam mail. Most of that's from putties. And then that's they gather around the putty water cooler. And they
that,
have
does
putty
explain, that does explain
and they
the poor grasp of language in most of those emails.
Yeah. So that's part of Rita's, like, demoralizing humanity is she just sends you shitty email constantly.
Yeah, if you ever get the ones that have a ton of, like, symbols in the subject and, like, are incomprehensible, that's the natural putty language. Those are red
putties.
Wait, so putties, like, they speak in, like, wingdings? Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
How do you, what do you call, what's the name of the putty language?
Putties.
Puttish? Putties?
It's PU.TTY. Because it's a true type font.
Okay. I have to cop to this. We had a listener write and ask us, what do you call the putty language? And I'm trying to find their name to credit them, but his suggestion was S-Put Ronto.
That's pretty good. I think gobbledygook is the best option because they gobble.
Gobbledygook. Oh my god.
That's pretty good too.
Oh man.
That's pretty good.
Also, just quick aside, I love the shot of as the palace is getting ready to move from the moon to the earth. There's all these shots of like just the palace shaking and like Rita's shit falling over. and like
yeah, she's like basically trashing the place in the process.
Chandeliers breaking.
Yeah, it's one of those times where like stuff was actually happening plot wise in the show, so they actually get new footage of the moon, which doesn't happen very often. So yeah, it's cool.
I just really like the idea that now there's a giant crater on the moon, like just a hole going down, you know, 50 stories.
Like down into it, like the length of a skyscraper into the moon.
Yep. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Like it's like the moon is just a ball with a big tubular hole in it, like someone tried to have sex with a melon.
That's a very specific reference.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that so much. That's upsetting.
That's why I said it.
Oh boy.
So, I'm sorry, I got distracted. I was trying to find that person's... anyway, I'm sorry, whoever said that, thank you. I like Esperanto, that made me laugh. So, yeah, we cut down to... So the fucking palace with a skyscraper under it flies to Earth and blasts through, like, another skyscraper. It blows it up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Bandora's Palace. I also love that it still says Bandora's Palace. I don't know how they would have edited it out, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's pretty great. Isn't this where we got the song and dance number?
In Jiranger, there is a song and dance number now where Bandora sings about how great she is. And if you want to see that, you should YouTube Bandora musical number or
even
Bandora
if you don't
song.
Think even if you don't think you want to see that, you should still do it.
You probably do because it involves Goldar like dancing around, so that's pretty great.
Yeah, like all of the minions are singing backup for this. It's amazing.
They're all playing instruments too. I think like Babu has drums and Squad has a flute or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it made me laugh. So
I think we've actually played the audio from that bit on the show before.
Oh, yeah, that's possible. It's one of my favorite things that's not actually in the show, for sure. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. It's there now. And they call up Zordon, and they're like, this is bad. And Zordon says, hold on. Let's see. No, they just say, like, hey, Zordon, we're in big trouble. And then Rita summons Cyclopsis.
But, like, even though she's on Earth now, the beam comes from the moon to the Earth. Yes. And, like, it shoots at Africa again.
Well, I mean, they're not going to reanimate the same thing twice. That's not going
to happen. Like, they showed her shooting a beam. Then they cut to the shot from space, and then they cut to another shot on Earth. They could have just eliminated that middle shot, and it wouldn't have been confusing.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Like, I'm not 100% sure why they do that. But
like, did
yeah.
she need to bounce it off a satellite?
Yeah, for positioning.
Yeah, no, she aimed it at that mirror that NASA left on the moon, that nerds like to bounce lasers off of to like prove that there was actually a moon landing.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah, that's...
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
In order to show that there's, like, man-made objects on Earth, on the moon, you can shoot a laser up there if it's strong enough and bounce it off to show that there's something that's reflecting up there. That is one of the ways to prove this thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
So, anyway, So then she summons Cyclopsis, and... Everybody get back in the time ship. We gotta get out of here. We're running out of time.
Yeah, hold on. We got some time. Our past selves aren't showing up just yet. Let's wrap a bit.
About what?
So, I don't know. About Bulk and Skull making out.
No, but like this is really important. You don't understand.
What are you fucking doing? Why do you want to? We can talk about this like in the time ship. Like what the fuck?
What? Yeah. Why?
Look, I just. I don't want to get attacked by my past self again, all right? That guy's a dick.
Well, listen, if we don't get in, then our new real past selves are going to show up instead of the weird doppelgangers, and then we're going to get time copped. And do you want to get time copped?
Kinda.
No, you fucking
get
don't.
In the,
want
get
to
in
get
the
time.
Fucking
alright,
all
right,
alright. Okay, bye everybody. Stick around.
Yeah.
So, we get our first look at Cyclopsis, and, it's pretty cool
he's
looking.
He's a Gundam, right?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Gundam guy, but from what I have seen, of all the, models that our friend Jules has posted that she's been making, yes, it is a Gundam.
I mainly just remember this guy from the Genesis fighting game because he kicked ass.
He was the final boss in the SNES Power Rangers game.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember Cyclopsis as well, and while like it was doing the prepare to see Cyclopsis, I'm like, man, my 5-year-old self remembers Cyclopsis being the dopest shit. And then I stopped for a moment, and I'm like, I really hope it's not actually lame as fuck. But fortunately, Cyclopsis is actually reasonably
cool. It's pretty cool.
And stands up reasonably well.
Intro,
yeah, it's still reasonably cool.
The intro shot of him it's basically the camera staying fixed while he rises from the ground, and there's literally like 5 seconds of just the horn on the top of his head passing over. Like the
horn's
intro
a little goofy,
shot
but...
of Spaceballs where the ship just keeps going and going and going.
It's really cool though.
So you don't
I'm sorry. We haven't this is the perfect excuse. We haven't had a tangent about how great the Genesis game is in a while. And man, the fucking Power Rangers Sega Genesis fighting game. You guys.
Was he really good in that?
Oh, that game sucked.
It's so fucking good. Like, it's not actually good, but it's so fucking good.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
God, I love it.
Is that the one that has the Thunder Zord also?
No. It's,
Okay.
No, that's the Super Nintendo one, I think.
Okay.
Man, I need to go back to that fighting game now that I, like, actually play fighting games and know what, like, fucking frame traps and, like, fuzzy guards are and play that game and see just how fucking
that's
terrible.
The one where you get, like, voice samples of, like, what Madame Woe originally sounded like. And, like, it has the thing where, like, there are two different fighting arenas. There's street level and like giant level. And like the Rangers can only fight on the ground and the Zords can only fight like giant, but the monsters can go either way.
I remember that one of like the Zord battle arenas was actually the moon and the moon palace.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember.
Probably like some kind of debug mode you can get for that game where you can use the Rangers and Zords interchangeably.
Probably. But I distinctly remember like
That'd
when you
cool.
play through the campaign of that game, you start off with only the 5 Rangers for the first couple levels, and in each level, like it does fighting game like 2 rounds thing, except the first round is as a Ranger on the ground, and the second one is as the Megazord against the monster. And then like in the second or third level, you fight the Green Ranger and then the Dragon Zord, and then from that moment on, you have the option to choose the Green Ranger.
Yeah.
And like, and you can switch Rangers to round. Like it's the enemies are in a set order, and you can play the Rangers in any order you like. It's neat.
See, I want to just say, I really like the fight the Green Ranger and then get the Green Ranger thing, because that's a pretty common thing in fighting games to, like, you know, you have to defeat the new character before they're unlockable. But in this, it makes, like, canonical sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Also, they didn't really have to worry about, like, having everything unlockable out of the gate for the tournament scene.
Right.
Power Rangers game. Just throwing that out.
So, real quick, I do want to say, as much as I really do like Cyclopsis, his design, I'm not 100% sure why he has pointy elf shoes.
So he can kick better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look, this...
Maybe they're enchanted, Zach. Maybe they give him, like, feather step or something.
God.
Okay.
This guy's sense. Whole deal is being covered with as many sharp edges as possible. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, so, can you guys confirm or deny something here? I suspect that in the original show, this was not a Zord that Goldar drove. Because near as I can tell, any footage of Goldar, like, piloting the thing looks really, really super cheap.
The cockpit of Cyclopsis looks like garbage. It does. Yeah, it's really
like,
bad.
I'm not convinced this is actually... I don't think in the original show it's actually Goldar in there. Especially the teleportation effects of him entering and leaving the cockpit look... They look like the American show shitty teleport effects as opposed to the Sentai shitty teleport effects.
Well, considering that, like, even the piloted Zords in Jiranger are sentient and alive, I don't really see why they'd need to have a Goldar piloted Zord. They could just have a living Zord to fight.
Okay, so Dora Talos, which is the name of this Zord in Jiranger, is piloted by her resurrected dead son.
Oh, wait, like Bandora's son?
And four children that she kidnapped and brainwashed. So she made her own evil Megazord piloted by children that they have to fight.
Fantastic.
Is her son like a fucking zombie? Like, is his flesh like sloughing off?
No,
in the middle of
no, Jesus Christ.
Like, I know Japanese kids shows skew a lot darker than American ones, but holy shit.
Yeah, not quite.
But it'd be like the monkey's paw. It's like, I sold my soul to the devil to bring my son back to life, and here he is. Kill me.
Apparently, its missile attack in Jiranger is called Satan missiles, which I enjoy greatly.
I could
see stealing that.
I could see our military coming up with something like that.
So...
No, we have come up with something like that. Our ATGM is literally called the Hellfire.
So the reason it looks bad is because it was a different person, a different character in there.
On the weapons platform.
Zordon's like, yep, that's Goldar Zord, shit. Well, that's not great. Yeah, they summon the Zords. They morph and summon the Zords.
We get some different background music for the Zord summoning sequence. It's just some shreddage, and I really enjoyed it.
Also, when they say, yeah, this is Goldar's War Zord, and on the viewing globe, they show him teleporting in, he looks so happy. Goldar is just like, he has his hands up in the air, and he's just like,
best day of his life up to that point.
I think that's just how the American version of the costume is. It like it just looks happier.
Yeah, I guess so. He just looks really excited.
I mean, when you see him actually piloting the Zord, you can see why too. He really likes how this thing works.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and this fucking Zord kicks ass.
He's got to be loving this because, like, normally he gets to grow all huge, and while it's got to be awesome to grow all huge, when he does it, he gets the shit beat out of him. So it's probably nice to just have a big robot.
We do have the full-on Megazord summoning sequence. I know, I did an extra bad
Zump
job.
Sword, huh?
You can just start calling it the MZSS for short if you want.
And when Zach enters his sword, he says, ready to kick it, which makes me think he's just going to let it
play. We get everyone's catchphrase, you know, when they're getting the Zords like we used to get all the time, and it's actually kind of nice to have that again.
Yep.
Yeah. So they summon the Megazord, and we just keep getting these shots of Goldar and his thing.
Yeah.
Just
to throw a punch with his Megazord, he lifts his hand up and just pounds the console.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently how you pilot Cyclopsis is you just slap all the buttons.
It's just these big, like, punch pads that you just boom, 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 boom. Yep.
There's really just one big red button that says attack.
I want to see Goldar and Scorpina in the drift together, just like smashing, making a bunch of smashing motions, and their Jaeger is just tearing shit up.
Oh god, now I'm just imagining a Zord that whose cockpit looks like the cockpit from Megas XLR.
Hold on, three-way battle royale: Megazord, Megas XLR, the Jaeger. Who wins?
I think isn't the Jaeger like way bigger?
Which Jaeger? Gypsy.
Gypsy Isn't Danger? The Jaeger super huge?
Yeah.
I can't remember for sure. I feel like it would be too big.
I'm assuming we're talking Jaeger from Rim, yeah?
Yeah, Gypsy Danger.
Jaegers are slow as shit, though. And furthermore,
the Megazord's slow as shit, too, because it's a guy in a costume.
But one of the things about Megas and Megas XLR is Megas isn't that big of a robot, even like within its own show. It's the fact that it's like really, really crazy powerful and well made. It routinely overpowers the opposition just because it's that fucking strong.
So being the like Gypsy Danger, that'd be like the big Zam option with like.
I will say the Gypsy Danger, the thing that puts that thing on level is the Gypsy Danger is really good at trading because it has a nuclear core and it can just self-detonate.
So,
so I'm going down, but you aren't winning.
I was about to say, the thing about the Gypsy Danger is it'll never win, but it'll never lose.
I don't know enough about either these properties to give
a Megazord pick a nuclear bat.
Can I see how kind of offensive the name Gypsy Danger is?
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's not
they spoke with a
great.
Y, though,
I guess it
so
could
that's kinda
be
different,
worse.
Still, yeah.
Yeah. It no. They put out a thing after that movie came out. Where like we super didn't realize that was a slur.
Okay.
They didn't know that gypsy was a slur. How do you not?
A lot of people don't.
I was gonna say like. Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Like,
shit, I guess.
Just FYI, listeners, if any of you weren't aware, like gypsy is a derogatory term for a. Very, like, to this day, persecuted group of people in the Roma.
Yeah, the PC... I was about to say, the PC version
I didn't
Roma.
Realize that, yeah. I thought they knew and just didn't know, like, didn't... Well, I guess I thought they didn't think it was a big deal.
In fairness, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people out there who don't realize it's a slur.
They don't, well, because it...
Yeah, it's still because it's still so people. In such high use compared to most other slurs.
They're a persecuted group in Europe, and Europeans, by and large, well, this is starting to change, but they don't care as much about offending them because they're still considered, you know, kind of. I don't even know how to say it, but they're like considered another class, and like offending them is no big deal over there. And that word has kind of made its way into. It's not.
Yeah,
cool.
It's not the best.
So.
Yeah, it's not the best.
So at this point, we get, So yeah, they start.
What the fuck are we talking
about? Robots.
We're talking about a robot fight, but we were talking about a different robot fight than the one that's actually happening, which is.
And then we were talking about like the persecution of the Mani people. And
okay,
like,
so to get us back on track,
teenagers with attitude,
Okay, Billy says we have to watch to match him with every move. If we don't, we're finished. And then Jason agrees with this. And what happens then is that the Megazord shits its pants and then proceeds to get wailed on 15 times in a row.
Megazord gets fucking
Specifically, Billy says, we have to match him blow for blow or else we're finished. Yep. And like, he uses a lot of big Billy language to talk about this.
Yep.
But like, here's the thing. I know it's Billy. But Billy's plan for the battle is fight good.
Also,
well, it's literally he says match them blow to blow, which just reminds me of that Futurama where Leela's fighting her like alternate universe counterpart, and she's like, okay, so we're exactly the same, so we have all the same moves. That means that I have the advantage.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Matching him blow for blow isn't going to make you win.
Also, I'm rewatching this fight now, and right after he said that, what happens is the Cyclops is just punches him like 8 times
exactly,
in a row. Like, it doesn't even,
that's what I was getting
it
at.
It doesn't do anything
and
fancy.
There's a really funny shot of the Megazord
him.
Like quivering in fear before that happens. And
I was gonna say it's even better because when the fucking Cyclops starts fucking death marching up on him, the Megazord goes, oh shit, don't hit me! And he just proceeds to slap the
shit out
of
it's
him.
It's like, okay, it just cuts. Cyclops punches the Megazord, we get a shot of Goldar cackling, we get a shot of Rita cackling, and then Cyclops punches the Megazord, and then we get a shot of Goldar cackling, we get a shot of Rita cackling. It just happens over and over and over.
It happens so many times, and then he shoots a fucking his chest missiles, and then he shoots a
Those, by the way, I just want to talk about the chest missiles. The chest missiles...
Yep.
Fucking
yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah, I don't.
I love these.
We talked about how
they're
Cyclops looks
kind of
goofy,
cool.
And he does, but he is fucking awesome, though. Like,
this is actually I was about to say, this is actually a cool design. Like, if you cut the stupid unicorn horn for some fucking reason, like, this is actually a cool design. Maybe also, like, the dumb spike boots, like, but I kind of like the dumb spike boots. They're just the right
If any, any design can get away with spikes everywhere, it's a giant ass robot.
Yeah. But, like, in spite of how one-sided it is, it's still a pretty entertaining fight, even though we're basically watching Cyclops beat the shit out of the Megazord.
Yep.
Yeah, because he punches it, he shoots missiles, he shoots lasers kind of just everywhere. Yep. Not really at the
Blowing up a bunch of buildings in the process.
Cyclopsis uses lasers multiple times.
Really, that's why he wins.
This is the most plausible time for nobody. This is the most plausible time for nobody to get injured in any of this, though.
I thought Cyclopsis won because, like, the Power Rangers forgot how to fucking fight.
Well, also that.
That's true, but then they get the only reason he doesn't win quicker is because they get some backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jason calls the Dragonzord.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the Dragonzord shows up. The fight is a little more even for a little while.
Cut to Tommy, like, perking his head up thinking he heard the phone. He didn't.
hold on. So the dimensional vortex beams kidnapped everyone in the city except the five Rangers and Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy didn't even notice.
They forgot about Tommy.
Because he's the only one who didn't go to the party because he wasn't fucking invited. So
I like the idea. I like the idea that Tommy still has a slight link to the Dragonzord's power, so that whenever they blow the flute, he hears it.
Yeah, he just knows.
Wait, I like the idea that, like, he hears there's a fight going on, so he goes outside to see what's going on, and he just finds the city abandoned.
Right.
It's just like
he's like, wait, not what? Again.
So they fight for a little while longer. Cyclopsis uses his fucking force powers to lift the Megazord and throw it, and there's this great, great shot of, like, Goldar, he, like, picks up his hands to like, simulate lifting the Megazord, I guess, with his psychic powers. And then he, like, throws the Megazord, and there's a shot of Goldar, like, just moving his controls all the way over from one side to the other, and it's really funny-looking.
Like, Goldar's not pushing any buttons or anything. He's just sitting in a chair pantomiming, and the robot does what he does.
Yeah.
This is what was that Gundam series that worked like that?
G-Gundam?
Was it?
Yeah, I think
where, like,
G-Gundam,
everyone was from a Neo version of a country?
Yes, yeah, that's G-Gundam.
And at some point there was a horse, I guess?
Yeah, there was a horse robot that was piloted by a horse. Yes, that did happen.
I fucking love that, because the deal with that show is, like, each pilot, like, gets into this, like, weird skin-tight suit that, like, forms over their body, and it's weirdly kind of erotic, I guess, but they do it to the horse.
It's also kind of weirdly racist, because, there's,
oh, it's super,
like,
fucking racist. Like, don't sugarcoat it. That show is racist as fuck.
Because the robots are all built around different countries, and I specifically remember, Holland or Swiss it's a Netherlands robot that, hides from a fight by turning into a big windmill.
I love that as a visual gag, but you're right.
I'm kind of disappointed you brought up that one and not the fact that Gundam Mexico has a giant robo sombrero.
Yeah.
Sombrero,
that's true.
See, that's the one problem I fucking love that.
So you're saying that Gypsy Danger was right in line with that stuff?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
G-Gundam is basically Punch Out with giant robots.
Yes, yeah, it's like all these really, like, colorful, well-designed robots that are all kind of racist at the same time.
Ethnic stereotypes,
or in the case of.
So they form the Dragonzord battle mode. They fight for a little bit longer.
Once again, like, they're clearly still in the Megazord cockpit with Jason, even though the T-Rex is right there next to it.
Yeah, there's
also... Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, also, clearly, they're still getting their fucking
At one point, Goldar is literally just like, this is too easy, and I just love it. He's having such a good time. He fucking knocks the Mega Dragonzord over and just starts kicking the shit out of it on the ground.
He just starts stomping on it.
He basically curb stomps it.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
He
shoots
the Dragonzord Battle Mode. Like it shoots an energy ball at it that seems to be made out of that blade he has on his head, and like Cyclops catches it and just like reflects it back at him and knocks him down.
Yeah, and then after he has the Mega Dragonzord on the ground, he shoots both of his arms out at the two robots. His fists pop out
on strings, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he like electrifies them.
He grabs them, lifts them into the air, and then electrifies them.
Yep.
Yeah, the Cyclopsis has a bunch of moves. Like it really has a lot of different attacks.
And like he probably would have killed them right then and there if it weren't for a Deus Ex.
Titanus.
Stupid thing's name.
Yeah.
Well, you could also just say
literal
robot.
You could have said Machina because it's a fucking robot joke.
Yeah, no, I completely bungled that joke. We get a duo.
Yeah, sure, okay. Sure. Do it again. Let's rewind.
Alright, and so crap, not Goldar's. Just fuck it. The whole thing's ruined.
No, we rewound time for you. If you don't do it, it'll break the multiverse.
It's not the first time we've ruined the time stream on this podcast.
That's true. So the Titanus shows up and blasts at Cyclopsis to give them a second. They make the Ultra Zord.
Okay, can I just say something about the Ultra Zord and like this sequence in particular? Thank you, person on a podcast whose name I can't remember.
Joel.
Fuck you.
His name is Joel.
No, his name is the guy that messed up like the most obvious joke in the fucking history of this podcast. Shots fired. But anyway, they get like whatever the fuck they call it with the combat Mega Dragonzord, whatever the fuck
the Ultra Zord
names, and they get like the power. Yes, they get the power spear down, like, almost immediately, and all I'm thinking is that in that cockpit, they must be thinking, power spear, get the fucking power spear, get it, because, like...
We get these really, dramatic close-up shots of the Ultra Zord's, like, wheels rolling around, and, it's a lot of, like, fisheye lens shot from below stuff to make this toy seem huge.
Mm-hmm. So, at this point, Goldar pulls a classic Goldar and says, shit, and just leaves.
Yep.
Hey, the Goldar that fights and runs away lives to fight another day.
Well, in fairness, his name to Goldar at this point, he's had to fight how many
robots
at this point?
They blow up Cyclopsis and its head flies off, which is great. Go ahead.
The special effects in the cockpit as Goldar is trying to is bailing on
the really
sword.
Bad sparks.
Yes, yeah, the really bad sparks behind him. Oh my fucking god! We have seen some
terrible
special effects on the show. Yep. This might be the worst.
Yeah. Then everything goes sideways immediately after this happens because Rita makes a
huge sinkhole appear, like ground zero sized sinkhole under Titanus, which is no longer attached to the Ultra Zord at this point for some reason.
And this is the most mecha
is over. Bam, nailed it.
Oh, damn it. And this is the most horrifying thing I've ever fucking seen. Because keep in mind that Titanus is alive. Yep. It's a living, thinking robot. And it is sinking into the ground screaming while the Mega Dragonzord tries to he holds onto his neck to like try to stop him from sinking.
Which is a bad scene because it immediately looks like Mega Dragonzord is trying to strangle Titanus, but
But it's basically that scene from Neverending Story that made us all cry as kids.
Yep.
You remember the one?
The horse?
Yeah. The horse is drowning because it doesn't believe in itself.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's basically it. The horse gave into despair. It's like, horse. I'll never eat oats again.
So, also, and not, like, listen, this is very dramatic, and it actually did get me, like, it's fucked, but also it's the worst, it's such a bad special effect, holy shit.
I don't know if special is
there's
really
special about these outfits.
There's a bit where
it's an effect.
There's a bit where it straight up looks like Terry Gilliam animation from Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy, it looks bad. And then it explodes, and the explosion is just like, it's not part of the scene. It's like they put it in an Adobe After Effects. It's really bad.
It doesn't even look like it's Titanus exploding. The explosion happens over the sinkhole.
Yeah. It's just really hilariously, well, poorly done. And then she teleports, Rita teleports and says, "Hey suckers, you're next," which I love. I like whenever Rita's like, it's just shitty.
Yep.
Just, hey, dicks.
They'll teach you to break my robot. Like, you activated my trap card there by winning the fight.
Yeah.
And then Rita activates her epilepsy warning card.
Yes.
Okay, can we... I try not to stop the podcast dead in its tracks to talk about the Netflix subtitles too often. Cause there are a lot, there are a lot of fucks up. There are a lot of fuck ups I just don't bring up even so far in this episode.
I think I know where you're going.
But
with
like,
this.
Rita starts casting the spell.
Yep.
And the subtitle just says, in parentheses, in all lowercase letters, speaking native language.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a lowercase and, so it's just the native language she was born speaking on the moon.
I was about to say it's moon language.
Yeah,
don't
it's
think too
a
far
native
into
language,
yeah,
but it's still, why would you phrase it that way? Like, that's not good.
You don't,
well,
you,
especially,
you don't
especially
give a
because
fuck.
I don't think this is Japanese that she's speaking.
No, it's just nonsense. It's complete nonsense. Yeah.
Well,
also, yeah, like someone mentioned, there
it's
is
no one's native language.
There's some absolute like epilepsy shit going on. Like this is a lot of loud music and flashy lights. It's real bad.
Yeah. So
why is she chanting summons... like Jafar's staff from Aladdin for some reason?
It's Jafar's staff with a creepy baby face instead of a snake face.
Yeah, it is. Well, keep in mind that what she's doing is summoning Lokar. Lokar.
Where did that thing come
from?
We've never seen that spire or whatever she's chanting at before.
No, I'm saying that he's the devil in the Japanese version, so that's some kind of like satanic.
Probably.
Pillar or something. I don't know. But
also, Lokar looks way different than before because, like, he's got red splotches all over him.
Yep.
Did he have those before?
Yeah, he looks a little...
Well, he got kind of fucked up last time. Those are just battle wounds, and it would be polite not to call attention to him.
That's his, like, final form, but he looks actually goofier than before, because he keeps his eyes open wider, and, I don't know, he looks less intimidating that way.
Speaking of which, the effect when he appears is, like, his eyes materialize first and open up, and then, like, the rest of him shows up afterwards?
It's like,
like the Cheshire Cat.
Right. Or I was gonna say, like, the eyes from fucking Great Gatsby, but that's, I guess, a weirder reference. Anyway. Yeah, so then Lokar's just like, let's just remake Cyclopsis here.
Yep.
So he does that, which is... And yeah, it looked like everything was going so well, and all of a sudden, not so much.
Yeah. And now, Cyclopsis has three horns because three is a bigger number than one, and that means he's more powerful.
Yep.
So, wouldn't he be tri- Well, no, because... Does he have eyes?
He has one eye. Well, he has one big eye, but also, like, two little eyes.
It looks like
it,
a forehead
kinda?
Jewel with two eyes underneath it.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like a Cyclops at all.
So he's a Biclops or a Triclops, then.
And now what's funny is we cut to commercial, and when we get back, the Rangers are watching what just happened before the commercial on the viewing globe in the command center.
This is a weird spot for a commercial, because by the time we come back, there's like a minute left in the episode, including the ending credits.
Yeah, there's literally like 30 seconds left, basically, of the actual show. And yeah, they're like, what do we do? Nothing, cause the Zords need to re-energize?
Which is a thing.
Which is,
sure.
Has that ever been a thing before? Like,
That's, normally they haven't established that.
Normally
before,
they don't have to keep pulling the Zords like, back right after they win.
I guess, like, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
The last time the Zords got defeated, they were thrown into Earth and they thought they were gone right. forever.
Yeah. Fair. He's like, well, you gotta do it, because Zordon says if you lose this battle, all of Angel Grove's people will be trapped inside the interdimensional vortex forever. So, like, no presh. It's fine. You got this.
There's a lot of melodramatic speech. Like, Jason actually says at one point, we're their only hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he says, we're their only hope. Like, it's a really unenergized.
It's defeated, like at this committed. Point, they're up against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Although,
or it's Austin St. John not putting a lot of acting out.
Zordon does take the time to point out they're at least safe for now. See, here's something that's been bugging me about all this. Everybody in the city has been, well, everybody except Tommy, has been teleported to this other dimension. What happens to people who are, like, I don't know, in the hospital on a dialysis machine or something?
They're dead.
Same thing that happened to them in Ocean's 11 when they caused a blackout. Everybody died.
Yes! I was literally going to bring that up. Yeah, in Ocean's 11 where they... Yes. By the way, I watched Ocean's 11.
I was good. Actually about to say, oh, time. You saw it. Okay, cool.
Yeah, since you guys were like, what the fuck? It's pretty good. Yep, it's all right. Yeah, they EMP all of downtown Los Angeles, and I'm like, oh, so a ton of people
Las
just
Vegas,
died
yes.
then. Sorry, that's what I meant. Yes.
Well, is it Las Vegas or is it Paradise City?
Oh,
yeah,
God, really? We're going to get into that now.
Well, here's the...
It's a big difference.
Here's the thing, though. Like, hospitals have backup power sources, and if those weren't running ahead of time, the EMP probably wouldn't have destroyed them.
Oh, well, okay.
I don't know how EMPs work. I thought it would have just killed everything.
Say,
no?
I assumed it would have fried the equipment. Like, I guess... I don't know enough about medical equipment, like... Are they shielded?
Yeah,
I
thought it would have just.
Are. I think EMP would have fried it, but it also.
Well, the thing is, the
like,
thing
where
is,
the
to
fuck are they even
a
getting
blackout,
an EMP?
You don't need
to
EMP. Like, they wouldn't have had to EMP the entire city. They just need to EMP the, like, the main transformers or whatever to cut the grid.
Yeah, well, they
like,
definitely
that's not
plunge
travel
all
the
of,
way down to all the equipment.
They definitely plunge all of Las Vegas into darkness, and it's just played off as, like, oh, those wacky thieves, and it's like...
I mean, the thing is, blackouts happen, and most people don't die. Sometimes somebody will die, but...
Well,
like,
there are laws in place about, like, electric companies can't cut off your power without giving you, like, months and months of warning in advance, because just in case there's someone in your home that's hooked up to a machine that's keeping them alive, you know? So that's the whole reason they do that. And blackouts,
but then an ice storm happens and you lose power anyway.
And people
you can't
die.
Regulate an ice storm away.
Yeah.
I mean, we had an ice storm here like almost 20 years ago, and it was a big deal. For like a month, there was no power anywhere, and they're like, people died by the dozens.
So what happens if you're trying to charge your
Over
Zord
terms,
and the
absolutely.
Power goes out?
Oh, you have to like factory reset it. You have to flash the BIOS. And
the most important thing is you got to disconnect it from its power source before the power comes back on, because that initial surge when it comes back on could blow up.
Do you think the Zords get firmware updates?
No, because this is not
okay.
I mean,
enough.
We just saw Cyclops.
You can do it.
That would have been like absolutely.
You can do
edge.
It, but what you have to do is you have to put that on like a zip disk and then connect an external zip drive to the auxiliary port on the Zord. And it takes like 20 minutes
God.
To download.
Oh my God. Now I'm just imagining like we have these new updates and fucking Alpha just brings out like a fucking stack
yeah.
of floppies.
It's like, sorry, you like, guys can't use the Zords for the next time. Like 8 hours Wait, because so- I have to install each of these floppy disks individually.
Wait, so what about-
And you just know floppy number 125 is going to be corrupt and he's got to start all the way over.
What about when they brought the Zords out for the first time in 10,000 years?
Oh man, you know that you know it was just like a week of updates. Yep. Like they couldn't
it's
use
like
it at
you
all.
You just turned them on immediately, and they go, "We need to reboot for an update now," and all these like security updates and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they just fixed all the backdoors, but not enough because Tommy's still. That's because they hadn't updated the Megazord in a while. That's how he got in there to punch Trina in the face.
Well, what really sucks is when a new version of the Megazord OS comes out, and like you're putting off installing it because you don't know what like new glitches it's gonna. do, and then in the middle of a battle, it just installs itself anyway.
Forces it on you. It's like, no, I don't want the turbo stuff. The dragon God,
I really enjoy how often we bring up the fact that Tommy punched Trini in the face.
Never forget.
Like, I don't know why
it's really disturbing.
Brought up so often, but it is funny to me.
It
anyway,
was kind of
so,
the defining
yeah,
moment of the Big Five-parter, really.
I guess that's true, but if it wasn't clear, the episode's over. It's a good cliffhanger. It's also funny because they basically win, and then they just go, nope. Yeah. Like, the next 2 minutes are like, nope.
Win.
It's the opposite of a Deus Ex Machina, really, because then, like, the devil shows up to fuck everyone over.
Ex Machina, you might say.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do next episode to wrap it up, but yeah, it goes bad. Everything goes bad.
I destroyed it for you, but they go back in there and beat Cyclops again, and everything's fine.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a cool episode. It's a cool fight. I enjoy the dumb. I really like Balkan Skull's costumes. So,
yep.
I think later, I feel like I have a memory of them having a dream.
Yeah, that's
where they
that's later this season.
Pilot the Megazord wearing those clothes.
Oh yeah,
I'm
I think
excited
you're right.
About that.
I think they were wearing that.
Yeah. So, anyway, so yeah, come back next week and we'll talk about the stunning conclusion, and also we'll figure out how.
Wait, why are you already signing off? Don't we have like listener questions?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, next week there's that's the
look. Maybe some people like maybe as soon as the listener questions start, some people just tune out. Maybe they don't like that, so we want to just make sure that they come back.
Please come back.
It's possible. Please come back. All right. Anyway, yes, we have listener questions. If you have a question for us, you can send it to teenswithtood@gmail.com. You can send it to us on Twitter @teenswithtood, or you can join the Facebook group.
I just closed
Teenagers
my door
with
because
Attitude.
I just remembered the nature of some of these listener questions.
So, circumcision talk right away now.
Yeah. But yes.
No,
yeah,
no.
The,
so,
yes, the Facebook group, Teenagers with Attitude, join it today. It's a fun time.
Yeah. Well, so first, I have a question that's not from your fucking nightmare questions, Mike.
So for any listeners who are not part of the Facebook group, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, as part of my ongoing quest to make Zach really uncomfortable, I asked the listeners to send us.
For what purpose?
I asked the listeners to send us more personal questions, questions that Zach would hate to read. And you obliged so beautifully.
But before we get into that, let me do one that I really liked from a not from that, but then we'll move into that. So Josh asks, basically, he's up to where we talked about how Billy starts to do like flips on Morphed and all this stuff that he couldn't do before. And he actually has a question about whether or not it's that his karate training is going well, or if constantly morphing, and as we've established, when they morph, their bodies actually change.
Right.
Is there some kind of residual effect from all the morphing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's both.
I know we've talked mm-hmm. about this before, where if you haven't morphed for a while, it's kind of like being on a
drug. Yeah, we've talked about morphamphetamines.
Yep.
Yeah, so... So his follow-up to that is, do you think that part of why there are so few Rangers who have been Rangers for more than a couple years is because at some point it – basically, do you get addicted to this in a bad way? Is at some point is it like, oh, man, you can't be a Ranger anymore, or this is all going to break bad for
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, see, I wasn't thinking addiction. I was thinking like, no, your body just can't keep that up for very long normally.
Oh,
I mean, your body is morphing. It's physically changing. That you'd think that would take a toll.
So you think it's like being on steroids for too long, where at some point your body tissues just start breaking down?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What if you lose the ability to control the morphing, and you like parts of your body turn into the suits at random times?
Yeah, so I just
like
that idea.
So it's like the end of the Eddie Murphy version of the Nutty Professor, but instead of getting real fat, they get, like, you know, Power Rangery.
Yeah, let's take a break and just talk about the Nutty Professor for a while.
Happens.
No.
What the fuck even happens at the end of the Eddie Murphy version?
Doesn't
of the
he
Nutty
like
because
when
you're gonna have to fill me in?
Like he turns skinny,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and cool.
But then like
the
his
end,
his skinny, it does like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. That's kind of the twist of that one versus the original with Jerry Lewis. Is instead of just going from a nerd to being really suave, he goes from a really fat guy to being really thin as well. Because Eddie Murphy loves wearing fat suits, I guess.
God, he loves it so much.
Yeah, he loves wearing fat suits, and he loves playing, like, 20 fucking characters in the same film. But, yeah, so at the end, like, they use really shitty, like, was this a late 90s movie or an early 2000s movie? I don't know, but it's really shitty old CGI. Yeah. They use it so that Eddie Murphy is, like, rapidly switching between being thin and fat, and, like, certain parts of his body are getting fat and skinny at different times, and it gets all weird. It's weird.
Yeah, so...
And that's the end of the movie? Is Eddie Murphy, like, fucking killing himself accidentally with his
super science
powers?
Yes. Ignore the fact that there was a sequel and just assume that he died.
Hey, look, the main character dying at the end has not stopped sequels before.
Yeah, true. So, I just liked that question, and now we'll move into some...
Hit me with the nasty.
Jesus Christ. So, okay. previous guest Jules asks, if you had to, under some sort of threat, ask your partner, hypothetical or real, to wear a Power Ranger outfit for you in bed, which one would you choose?
Oh,
also, you can't tell them why.
Oh, I wouldn't have to tell her why. She'd know.
Okay, fucking dog. Okay, you know, Doggy Kruger. Easy.
That's perfect. I think that's.
Man, that crosses.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that crosses so many, like, fetish lines just in
one. Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing.
Fetish efficiency is the main concern.
Yeah, I don't know that I can think of a better answer than that, actually.
I can think of
like,
the worst answer.
But, like, yeah.
Which is with the turbo suit.
Which, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. All right, I've got you beat on that. Zordon.
Is that a ranger?
Oh, God.
Zordon's not a Power Ranger, though.
But, no, it has to be, like, a Power Ranger.
Oh, I just thought Power Ranger's character. But, okay.
But, no, just imagine, like, Doggy Kruger, though, and because he's, like, a police officer, and it's like, now tell me I'm under arrest. Because,
I mean, like, if it could be any
yeah,
Power Rangers character, I mean,
the Blue Turbo
Goldar, right?
Ranger would be about the only other worst one.
Maybe not Mike. I don't know. I would go for a few before I went for Goldar.
Really? Really? Like,
well,
what? Who? Who's better
well,
than
you
Goldar?
Know, Kimberly.
But Goldar...
you do you, man. This I'm not judging. This is a safe
like,
zone.
I genuinely don't understand what you're trying to say.
Mike pines for a werewolf
sure.
Angel.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's move on, because I don't think we're going to get a better answer than Doggy Kruger. previous guest Eric asks, if you and your spouse were to roleplay in the bedroom, which characters would you roleplay as?
That's
why?
The same question.
That's the
almost.
Same question.
No, hold on. I'm mostly reading this one because our previous guest, Greg, says putty sounds while motorboating.
Yeah, okay, Greg.
Yeah, we're not getting a better answer than that.
Good job.
Let's see. Eric asks, "What is your?"
I like this. I like this new format where we have listeners both ask and answer.
Yeah,
questions.
It's a lot easier.
Takes a lot of the pressure off us.
Yeah,
and we get all the credit for the jokes.
Eric asks, "What is your social security number and mother's maiden name?" I think we're gonna skip that.
Yeah, weirdly, the answer is 24 for both.
Let's see. Okay, this is a good one. Jules asks, what is the one kid show you have really fond memories of and will defend no matter how terrible people say it is? So this is not a, like, well, I know this is bad, but I like it. Is there anything you know is, like, most people think is crap and you just don't care? Like, you're gonna fight about it?
Gosh,
I'm not gonna fight somebody if they say, like, they think something is... Well, that's not true. I fight people for saying stuff that's
I was gonna say,
time,
you love, you love
fight people over the dumbest garbage.
But I don't... I do that for fun. I don't genuinely believe in it most of the time, but... Like, if somebody says they didn't like a show or they thought a show sucked, that's their opinion, and I'm not going to expect to change
that. The
gist
of the question is just what's a kid show you like and still like on some level, even though the world has deemed it crap?
I think mine is...
I mean, the obvious answer, and the answer Jules is probably angling at least for me, would be Digimon.
Because that show is
I genuinely love that show, and that show is, like, Luke's not wrong. There's a lot of awfulness about that show, but I genuinely love
like,
it.
Given how much I have seen, like, people be like, oh yeah, Digimon was real good, like, I was shocked at the level of quality that people defend when I actually watched that show for your podcast. I was flabbergasted.
You watched a pretty shitty episode.
I have one where... A lot of people really like that show, but I can see how badly it has aged, which might turn a lot of people off, is Reboot. I fucking loved and still continue to love Reboot, but probably hard to get back
to it. Okay, I can't.
Reboot conceptually... Reboot's an odd one, because, like, conceptually, and, like, the acting is
Reboot
good.
Mostly just
like,
seems like it needs to be
actually
re-animated.
Pretty good, and conceptually, it's an excellent show.
Yeah.
But, like, the animation quality
It would just be visually hard to react to.
That's not a fault of the show.
Yeah, well, I've tried to find out why people like that show, and it visually puts me off. Like, it makes me uncomfortable trying to
watch
it.
Oh, it was already pretty much Uncanny Valley, even back then, but I just like so much of the writing and the story about it. That,
Here's a real conundrum, okay? Here's a real brain buster. What would you call a reboot of Reboot?
I'm pretty sure they've been talking about rebooting Reboot for, like, 20 years at this point.
Yeah. I would call it The Reboot.
The Reboot, yeah.
And then you don't have
like
to
Wolverine
call it...
Wolverine Origins and then The Wolverine. Yeah.
I would call it a Hard Reset.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay. That's... Isn't that a shooter? Isn't that a PC game?
Oh, you're right. I think it is.
How about Reformat?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's actually what happened at the end of season 3 of Reboot, is that they reformatted the thing, so everything went back
that's
to the
true.
Season.
That's true.
So
that's
even,
not a
so
joke.
It's even narrative, So it's even narratively appropriate then.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'd say Mainframe, give me money, but that's probably not possible. Yeah.
The main thing I remember about Reboot is that the two kids went to the internet. And time passed,
and they became badasses
as like sexy badass adults, and like the boys got.
And then when they reformat at the end of the season, Kid Enzo comes back, and there's adult badass Enzo Matrix, and then Kid Enzo, who's a little idiot, and it's kind of funny.
Nice.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say mine is probably, and we've kind of hinted at this before, but. Mine is probably the Sonic Saturday morning cartoon, not Adventures.
Which Sonic Saturday morning cartoon? Because there were two of them.
So one's called The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, and that's the one with Scratch and Grounder, and then the other one is just called
That's the one I like.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
The one with the Freedom Fighters and Knothole and whatnot.
So I love that cartoon so much and have such like fond memories of it that I can't it might hold up or it might not. Like, I couldn't tell you. I actually don't know because my like perspective on it is so skewed. This is the same as I am with the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, the first one. I don't know if that movie's any good. Because I love it so much, I can't tell
you. Yeah, I'll say this. There has not been a better Ninja Turtles movie than that one so far.
No, that's definitely the best one. I'll tell you that.
Well, does Turtles Forever count as a Ninja Turtles movie?
Because
that one's real good.
It's not a theatrical, but sure. Luke, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, the only one I can really think of is, I guess, Dragon Ball. I don't know if people think that's shit necessarily, but it's borderline.
It's not regarded the same way Dragon Ball Z is.
Well, I didn't mean Dragon Ball as a whole. I mean, Z more than the original.
Oh, the whole franchise.
Yeah, Dragon Ball... I think Dragon Ball is one that people less think is outright bad and more think is very, very inconsistent. Yeah. And suffers
isn't
from,
it
like,
just the pacing?
Which
like, isn't that really the only thing?
It was the poster child of the anime series that caught up to the manga and then had to pad the shit out of it to wait for the manga to catch up with it. Yeah.
But here's the thing though about that, Luke. Didn't they try to do that? Like, didn't they release Dragon Ball Z that cuts down all
the
filler?
So here's
the
problem. They threw the baby out with the bathwater with that because they threw out all the good filler also.
Yeah.
Piccolo.
There is an episode
of
that show where Goku and Piccolo have to learn how to drive, and it is the most incredible half hour of television ever created, and they cut it out of Dragon Ball Kai.
Yup.
Yeah. It's really good.
Mine would be Mighty Max.
Man. Wasn't that the cartoon that was based on the toys that was the Polly Pockets, but Parker
Yeah, it's
Boys
Polly
Pockets.
Yeah,
the male version of Polly Pockets. Yeah. That show
okay,
has
I'm having
a
huge deja vu here, because we've had this exact
thing. I think we have,
That show has a small but dedicated kind of cult following.
Oh, I'll bet it does. Like,
doesn't it loop?
Yes,
the end of that show
does. It loops? It ends with time
just
shenanigans.
Like this conversation.
It's not even like the Dark Tower where it like hints at, oh, but the next iteration of the loop will be different. This one is just...
No, it does, though.
Does it?
It does.
Yeah. In fact, it's exactly the Dark Tower.
Oh, I thought it was literally just they're stuck forever. Bye.
No. It hints that the next time around is going to be better.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different then.
Did everybody get one? Did anybody have one they didn't get to say?
I didn't say mine, but mine was just Dragon Ball. I'm just co-opting words.
Alright, so, let's see. Josh Diaz asks, what's your perfect Sunday?
Not having to do work, playing a lot of video games, eating junk food.
That's basically at this point in my life, as I'm almost 30, mine is like having more than 2 hours in a row to do something that I want to do.
For me, I'd say like the weather would have to line up perfectly. About, 60 degrees out, no wind, which is a rarity around here, and like sunny, and I could just spend the entire day outside.
Just staying asleep and not having to deal with the unholy curse that is consciousness.
Mine is roughly the same as Luke's, except the reason I want to stay asleep is because I work nights and my work week starts on Sunday night, so I want to get enough sleep during the day.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do, because it's hard to sleep in the daylight, no matter how tired you are. So.
Also, I'm sorry if this listener was expecting, like, some sort of
well, I have a cute
answer, because we sure as shit didn't have. Okay,
mine
go
right
for
now
yours. Maybe
my girlfriend
will
to go into
us.
Labor and to have a baby, but, That's partly so I don't have to go back
there
into
we
work
go.
For
Something
2 days
that's...
on Monday. And because, yeah.
And you killed it. Yep. Congratulations. Good job. You were getting there, and then you just like shot.
Well,
it
I have to be
face,
a little bit cynical,
point
or
range.
Else I'm not.
Speaking
cool,
of which, should we tell the listener why you're not going to be here next time?
Well, I mean, I just
well,
said
I think
it,
you
right?
kind of just
so
did.
I'm going to have a baby by next week for sure. Yeah. It's if it doesn't happen by Wednesday, it is going to be induced. So there you go.
Yeah.
So
good luck. By the way,
thanks.
Yeah. So just so the listener knows, like, well, a congratulations, Simone.
Thank
but
you.
Also, like, just so the listener knows why you're not going to be here for a while.
Yeah, I'm going to miss at least.
So listeners, start sending in your.
But we'll see after that.
Yeah, so listeners, start sending in your votes for Name Simon's Baby.
I've already had work buddies say if it's a girl, I should name her Mary Megazord, so there you go.
Oh my god. Do not crowdsource
no, just
your
with
fucking
me.
Child's yep. name to the
no,
internet.
Look for,
okay.
look for a really
sakes.
Shitty video game company
Please
that's
don't.
Doing one of those name your baby after our game and we'll give you $10,000.
Yeah, Turok.
Like publicity stunts. Yeah, yeah.
Alright, so we have two that are kind of similar. Rose on the Facebook group asks, who was your first cartoon crush? And We Lord Vegeta asks, who was the first fictional character that made you think dirty thoughts? So I'll go first because I just want to get this out of the way. Please. And my answer for this, for both is the same. It was Gadget from Rescue Rangers. and I remember the specific episode. There's an episode where they go to Hawaii and there's like an evil, like doppelganger of hers. and she has to like dress up in like a flower dress, and I was like, what's happening? Oh no. Something's gone all wrong. So there you go. Now somebody else do theirs, please.
Okay, I'll do mine. Weirdly enough, I guess Gadget's always going to be a safe bet, because like if you don't know who it is, you just say Gadget and people just nod. But I don't think I actually had one. Which is weird, because I'm pulling garbage, and you'd expect that from me.
Well, I mean, you had one at some point, right?
No, I typically...
Yesterday, you must have, right? Like, I can start finding cartoon characters if you need one still.
I am not a but this specifically designated like childhood. Like, also, I, weirdly enough, when it, people probably think I just, like, jack off to, like, children's shows and whatever the fuck, because I'm terrible, but that's actually not the case. I compartmentalize my entertainment, and this has led to very weird situations when I'm browsing for porn. Because it's like, man, this is some really good shit, but like, that's animal concentration. I can't do it. I can't work with this. I'm fair sorry. Enough. Like, fuck. Where were we going with this, and why do you let me on your podcast?
Yeah, for me.
Somebody asked me a question they shouldn't have.
For me, it's probably the Sailor Scouts. Just like all of them.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah.
All of them?
That's way less embarrassing.
I probably had phases where I liked one of them better than the other, but they're the same. I was in
puberty, the same drawing with different hair. Yeah. So like.
Yeah, but Jupiter's got the best hair.
Okay, sure.
Also, she's the tallest. So.
I probably had phases involving all of them, but if I had to pick one now, it would be Jupiter. Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anybody else? I couldn't say who my first like fictional crush was. Like I can name several fictional crushes, but I have no idea which one came.
See,
first.
I can think but of distinctly like, fictional crushes. I can't really think of like. It, I don't know how deep I want to get into this.
It's for the show, Luke.
Well, I mean, they let me on. I was about to say, they let me on
Luke,
this
you've
podcast.
Gotten about as,
Zach lets me on this podcast and lets me stay
I know
worse,
you could go deeper,
so,
but you've gotten about as deep as anyone on this kind of thing already.
I didn't jerk off until I was 20 years old, so...
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Well, then you're exempt from this question.
Yeah.
So, I was gonna say, like, I couldn't tell you who my first, like, fictional crush was, but I distinctly remember who the first, like, fictional character I searched for porn of was.
Okay.
It was Anja Woman from Digimon.
My boy!
Because she's basically porn already, so it was an easy jump to make.
Oh my god.
Weird though that some of the Digimon are just like hot ladies. Straight up.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's like, here's like a little dinosaur, here's like a cactus, here's Titty Lady.
Well, and Titty Lady comes from the cactus.
God.
Wait, for real?
One of them does.
Wait, what?
One of them does.
Oh.
Seriously? Well, I didn't know that. What kind of fucked up shit are you watching?
Yeah, Togemon Digivolves to Lilymon, who's like a fairy lady. She's pretty, but she's not like super, like, obscene or whatever. And then.
She scores like a 4 out of 10 on the
screen. And then she Digivolves into a, Thorn Dominatrix.
This is what happens when they don't teach sex education in schools.
So, let's move on.
I never got mine.
Okay, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so...
Mike has got to get his.
Yeah, of course. Mine was, and I think we might have actually brought this up, but it was the first episode of Alex Mack.
Yeah. That's a classic one.
Yeah, I think this is for a lot of kids of around that era, where she learns that power she has to turn into liquid, and the first time she does it, she... doesn't know how to use it, so she leaves her clothes behind. And like little kid me is like, wait, that, huh. That's funny. What's happening?
Little kid you is like, this is so fucking funny.
Okay. Let's, we got a couple more real quick, and we'll wrap it up here. Let's see. Greg, asked, did any of you when you were younger, play Power Rangers and make up your own Ranger to be.
Oh God,
I think
yes.
We kind of mentioned this before, but if you did, what color or animal dinosaur were they? Mine was purple, and it was the Scorpion Ranger, and I don't know why. I have no idea.
Because scorpions are fucking badass. And true. Sting the shit
I can't remember any specific Power Rangers we made up, but we definitely played with it. But also another one of our big jams was playing Mega Man and making up fake Mega Man characters. But we had this weird canon going on, fanon, I guess, where all the good guys were named Mega Something and all the bad guys were named Something Man. So not only did we create Robot Masters, but we also created a bunch of like allies to Mega Man. And there was like Mega Moon, Mega Star, Mega whatever you want. Basically, yeah. Yeah. That was weird, kids.
I had an OC Sonic character.
Yeah,
well, I mean, your icon is one.
I think everyone has an OC Sonic character, whether they made it themselves or not.
That's true.
I totally made
I never
one
did.
When
I was never
a kid.
Into Sonic.
And yes, his name was Mike the Hedgehog.
Nice. I mean, I don't know if the users don't know about this fun game. You might want to try
Sonic
it.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Just search your first name and then the Hedgehog, and you will absolutely
on Google
100%.
Image search.
Yeah, you will 100% guaranteed get multiple results. I did do that. I also actually played Mega Man, but our thing was that. For some reason, we were under the impression that each color of Mega Man's power was like a different guy.
Oh.
I don't know why we thought that, but.
That's how Power Rangers works. It's an easy jump to make.
Sure.
Also, you were presumably an actual tiny child.
Yes.
No,
they don't think things through most of the time. A lot more forgivable. Anyway.
Just for reference, I played Power Rangers. I don't ever recall coming up with my own Ranger, though. I was either just Jason or Zach,
fair enough,
as far as I can remember.
Yeah, I was absolutely the Gray Ranger. I don't know what my Zord was, if I had one.
Fair enough.
But I liked the color gray as a kid.
Okay.
I was a weird kid.
I'm going to assume that Luke's answer is no.
Wait, what? Sorry, what?
Did you ever play Power Rangers as a kid? Oh. And did you make up a character, basically?
Yeah, I had, I'm trying to think, I guess not really. I had my own imaginary team of the Dino Destroyers, was that what they were called? They were just basically the Power Rangers, but they were more like, their armor is just like a dinosaur.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. But it was just the Power Rangers.
Fair enough.
I don't think I played that with anybody, though.
So you had your own Power Rangers ripoff.
Right. So
thinking a step ahead of the other kids.
So this is our last one, and it's probably my favorite. Marry, fuck, kill, morph, grow, the original five Power Rangers.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'm bringing open a Word document right now because I'm bringing
Excel
a real
be
scientific
than, like,
with this bitch.
A table tennis. All right, so well, kill Billy, right?
Wait, do we have to come up with a communal list?
Okay, hold on. What's the five?
I assume that Kill Billy is the first step of everyone's list, right?
I want consensus on this.
Okay. Wait, are you just saying that because it sounds like the movie?
What? Oh.
No. I'm saying that
because
literally
he finds
he's
Billy irritating.
Yeah, he's the one we should kill immediately.
Well, to be honest, I can't think of another ranger I'd rather kill. So.
Yeah, I don't want any of them to die, but I can agree that yeah, okay, kill Billy.
I think Trini.
Kill
Billy.
I am throwing the gauntlet down on Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I will entrench. You know what? Yeah. I will entrench on this one if I need to.
Morph Trini. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on team.
I'm marrying that girl, man, and you can't stop.
Yeah, I'm on team Mary Trini.
Yeah,
okay,
me too.
Kill Billy, Mary Trini.
Right. Okay.
Fuck Jason.
Okay.
Fucking Zach. Kimberly, come on.
Kill it's gotta
Billy,
be Zach.
Mary Trini.
Zach is
fuck
the
Zach?
Sexiest. Yes.
Yeah, I actually agree with you.
Yeah, because you want to grow Jason, because he's the one who can lay down the biggest smackdown.
Yeah, no, I think fuck Jason.
Fuck Jason?
Like,
see,
fuck Jason
I was thinking
or
that.
Fuck Jason?
Well, the concept of this question, the latter.
I mean, he has the best arms.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I still got to go with Zach, though, because he's got the sweet moves.
That's
like,
true.
Like, here's the thing. Zach is going to be an accommodating
like
lover. Jason is just going to want to do karate.
No. I think you're overlooking it. Zach's a little creepy.
He's a little
not like
creepy,
mega
yeah.
creepy, but he's a little creepy. Kind of.
I feel like Zach would show you the best time.
But Jason would get distracted by wood and need to destroy it.
I want Jason to destroy my wood
in
this case.
That he gets distracted by wood.
No. He would not metaphorically destroy your wood. He would break it with his karate chop.
Okay, that's fine. I'll put him in fucking stiletto heels and let him fall on my ball sack. Who the fuck cares?
Okay, all right. I mean, I will. I've changed my vote. I'm going fuck Jason.
Okay.
I'm going to be boring and say fuck Kimberly. Because
we have Morph and Grow.
Whatever.
Well, okay, fine.
I'm marrying Kimberly. I'm Morph and Trini.
Okay. So okay, your
wait,
consensus
okay,
thing
sure,
goes
well,
out the window.
I didn't realize
point.
You were all maniacs.
Okay, well,
I'm so sexually frustrated. I don't fuck anything. With this God damn.
So okay, consensus: we've got Mary, Trini, fuck Jason, kill
yes.
Billy. So
yes.
I don't know what morph yes. and grow really means. So
well, we know what grow means. So okay. I think morph is just whoever's left. So who are we growing?
I think we're growing Kimberly because we're gonna throw my boy Luke.
We're gonna throw Luke a bone. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
See, I was gonna say you morph Kimberly because she can do a lot more with her Zord than she can just growing by herself. But I guess if there's only one morph though, like grown is just them outside of their suit.
Yeah, I'm assuming that just means.
We're gonna say morph Zach.
Yeah,
so
okay, we'll give
there
that.
There we go.
Luke.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I was about to say we morph Zach, and so we can get
wait,
okay,
hold on. No,
there
that, that's getting dangerously
okay,
close is... to casting a black man as King Kong, and I don't want to do that.
Well, no,
no,
we're
said
morphing
morph.
Him.
Oh,
morphing
okay.
Him,
I think you said so... growing. Okay.
No, not right. So he can actually physically
no,
pick
no, wow,
up you're Angela.
Fucking... And then he can realize it's love is
it
all.
His beauty killed the beast.
And then he can become a cynical bastard.
Wait, so do you
oh
think, like,
God.
Morph Zach is going to okay. recreate that kiss scene from Spider-Man?
He
yeah,
would
of course.
Try to. He would
except
just do a
except
handstand,
she'd, kiss, like, that weird fake metal mouth.
Right, because you can't like, pull the Power Ranger helmet halfway off. It doesn't work
that's
that
true,
way.
Right.
Oh, man, what if that mouth just dissolved away like they were going to do for the movie suits?
Who was it early... I think it was one of, actually, when I said I was doing this, a friend of mine told me he was actually super unsettled by the helmet mouths.
Like, yeah, really there's something yeah, weird about it. That, yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, there's something weird about a frozen mouth yeah. that's just there. It looks like a functional
yeah,
mouth, but
right.
it's not.
It's a little like, uncanny valley. I like the Zeo helmets because there's no mouths on it, but like when you look closely, you see there's
see,
the outline of a mouth.
Really, think about this question. It feels specifically designed to torture me because I can't marry or fuck the one that I grow.
Sorry, buddy.
No, but you can get them to make
that's
out.
True.
We're gonna allow that. We're gonna all allow right. that. There's a certain amount of flexibility. All
right. So that was awful and horrible.
Yep.
And I'm
no.
Thank you.
Wait. No.
Okay,
are you talking about that question or about this
the
show
whole show? The whole episode was a nightmare.
Yep. You let me say way too many words and ask me way too many questions you shouldn't have. So for consensus here, Mary, Trini, fuck Jason, morph Zach, kill Billy, kill his shit out of
yep.
me.
All right. Yeah, I think that's our list. I can live with that.
There we go.
Okay. And that's our game all of the right. year deliberations. Come back
yeah.
next year.
Yeah, and that's going to be it for us this week. If you like this, and I'm become increasingly more confused about why anyone
if you like
would,
this, shame on you.
then you should leave us a review or a like on iTunes. A like. That's not how iTunes works. A review or a
5 stars
rating on iTunes. Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to tell them what to put. You can
put five
one.
Stars. I'm
care.
Telling them what to do. Listen
yeah, no,
to me.
Okay.
Five stars.
Okay, fine.
1 star. All they talked about was how they fucking masturbated this children. Fuck this show. It's gross.
I think I'd rather get that than 5 stars. All they did was talk about masturbating his children.
Yeah, okay, you know what? What's like the best, what's like the best rating? Is it a 3-star is like the best rating?
Oh, you mean the least creepy to give with that comment? Yeah, I guess
the least
three.
Creepy.
Like, wait, but I don't know. Like, there's that weird thing. It's like somebody says, man, they talked about a lot of really creepy shit, like how they jerked off as children. Man.
Wait, what? Wait a second. What?
Luke, are you still not paying attention to your own podcast?
For a second?
No, no, no.
We totally did that.
We're talking jerking off children.
No, we know Luke didn't jerk off
as
a kid.
Children.
As
children.
I do not think Mike said the word as.
Oh, okay, I see.
I understood what Mike was talking about.
Oh my god. Okay,
we're ending this. We're ending this.
So we're a flaming train wreck, so we know it's time to end
leave
this.
I'm ending this. Leave us a review, subscribe, tell your friends. If you tweet about us, you know, we haven't said this, but if you tweet about us and use our @, you know, we'll give you a shout out. Why not? Because we appreciate you guys listening to the show. And come back next week for episode 40, the end of the Doomsday 2-parter. And until then, I've been Zach.
I've been Mike.
I've been Simo.
I've been Luke.
I've been Joel.
And I've been Matt.
And may the power protect you always.
Iron chests and arms of steel. We've got real superhero appeal. We'll protect this city with all our might. Bumpster and Super Skull will set things right.
Blah 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 bl